Chapter 20 Sunday, 6:08 a.m. Sometime before dawn, Lucy woke, feeling restless and irritated and needy. Nick was happy to oblige when she reached for him. Morning was his favorite time to make love. Lucy straddled him, needing to feel in control, and they made love quietly, still uncertain of how sound traveled in this creaky new house of theirs, with Megan only two doors down at the end of the hall. His hands feathered over her, coaxing, guiding, never demanding. Not until the end, when his hips thrust up, meeting hers, and the bed rocked and groaned as they both climaxed. She remained on top, curled up, her arms and legs clutching either side of his chest as if fearful someone might steal him away. Nick fell back asleep, but she couldn't, her mind chasing young girls and dark demons and slick-talking monsters. Finally, she clawed her way out from under the covers and got ready to go to work. She filled her thermos with coffee, making sure there'd be enough left for Nick, and defrosted two sticky buns for him and Megan. Special Sunday treat. Before she left, she found herself in Megan's room. It was barely 7 o'clock. She wasn't going to wake Megan. She just wanted to look at her, make sure she was all right. Megan stirred as Lucy sat on the edge of the mattress, twisting her wedding ring, watching her daughter. Megan's breathing was still congested, her color pale in the sunlight filtering through yellow gauze curtains. Lucy brushed her hand across Megan's cheeks. They felt cool and dry. She bent over, kissed Megan's forehead. Also cool. She traced her fingers along Megan's neck. The glands there still felt big, the size of walnuts. Their old doctor had once said that they'd normally be around the size of a peanut. He'd also said the same thing as the new doctor, that swollen glands were usually a healthy sign of the immune system fighting off disease. Unable to restrain herself, she bundled Megan into her arms. "Hey, Sleeping Beauty," she murmured when Megan squirmed awake. "Just wanted to let you know that I love you." Megan pulled away from her mother's embrace, one hand rubbing her eyes. "Mom," she smothered a yawn, "why do you always have to do this? I'm fine." "I know you are." Lucy gave her another kiss, this one on the cheek. Megan wrinkled her nose. "Yuck, you smell like coffee."
"Love you, too."
Lucy relented and stood to leave.
"I'll probably be gone all day again."
"Whatever."
Megan shielded her eyes from the morning sun and burrowed into her pillow. Lucy took a step toward the door, stopped. Megan already was falling back to sleep. She hesitated.
"Hey, you know that if you or your friends ever needed anything or wanted to talk or whatever, you know your dad and I are here for you, right?"
"Mom, just go find that girl everyone's talking about so you can stop bugging me already."
Megan pried open one eye.
"Okay."
She drew the word out to three long, suffering syllables. Lucy stood rooted, unable to tear her eyes away from her daughter's rumpled dark hair, standing on end, the ancient soccer jersey she wore as a nightshirt, or the tattered teddy bear standing guard over her from the other side of the bed.
"I love you, Mom,"
Megan sighed, a grand concession. Didn't bother opening her eyes as she said the words Lucy had been aching to hear.
"Love you too, Kalamazoo."
Megan groaned at the childhood frivolity and rolled over, her back to Lucy once more. Cindy woke, kneeling face down on her bedroom floor, one wrist handcuffed to the bedframe. Burroughs rarely allowed her to sleep in the bed with him, not unless she appeased him more than she had last night. And she made him earn everything she gave him. Those were her rules. Before moving or opening her eyes, she listened. Hard. No sounds of life. The apartment was empty. Burroughs was gone. Sometimes he liked to stick around, watch her struggle to free herself, taunt her. Sometimes he caught a second wind in the morning, and he'd take her on the floor,
any way he wanted, any way she let him. Not today. She smiled and stretched her arm out, reaching for the handcuff key she taped to the bottom of the nightstand. After last night, she doubted Burroughs would have a second wind for a long, long time. Hard to believe an old guy, he was 41 to her 27, could keep it up like he had last night. She'd never seen him so needy. They'd done it twice before even reaching the bedroom, their usual tug of war, both fighting for control until she decided when to surrender. Her body was sore and bruised. She was certain he'd left handprints on her butt and arms, not to mention various scratches and bite marks. She rolled over onto her back, enjoying the way the plush chenille rug caressed her naked skin. Burroughs had been chasing demons last night, and she'd been happy to torture his soul and reap the benefits. Unlike her other three lovers, the news director, station manager, and a city councilman, Burroughs always satisfied Cindy's physical needs, multiple times. Once she submitted, she was able to experience orgasms with the merest stroke of his hand, graze of his tongue. No other man had ever, ever been able to coax her to climax like Burroughs could. The others were business. Burroughs had started out that way as well. A reporter could never have too many friends in the police department. She and Burroughs had quickly crossed the line, taken things further. It wasn't a relationship, but rather a mutual addiction. Her fingers trailed over her bare stomach, following the path his teeth had taken last night. She wasn't quite certain who needed whom most, and that made her a little nervous. During sex, she was always in control. Always. But the way she kept thinking about him in between times, that was a bit frightening. Especially as she was certain he never thought of her. Not that way. She sat up, shaking her hair free of its tangles. As long as this thing with Burroughs was good for business, she wouldn't worry about it. Two mutually consenting adults having good, make that great, sex. What was there to worry about? Her phone rang. She grabbed it and hopped onto the unmade bed. "Cindy, it's Felix. We're at that address you gave us. The blue Subaru is gone, though." "That's all right. Film some establishing shots. Be sure to get the house number in the frame." She slid her palm over her red satin sheets. Burroughs' favorite, inhaled the musky scent of sex, and found herself wishing he had stayed. Probably was with Guardino right now. The bitch. Because of her, Cindy was off the Jaeger story. Temporarily. "There's a man and a kid coming out, dressed for church," Felix said. "Looks like they're walking. Film them. Call me from the church, or wherever they end up. I'll meet you there." She hung up, staring at the depression Burroughs had left behind in her pillows, imagining his reaction when she turned the tables on Guardino. He'd stay all night after that, most definitely. Cindy rolled over onto her stomach, burying her face in the pillow, kicking her legs with wild abandon. Laughter rippled through her. Guardino was going to be her ticket to a lead story, maybe even a primetime special. And Burroughs was going to help. She loved it when a plan came together.